But Daniel is the only one that fits in perfectly. Something happens and he gives thanks to the Lord. But then there are others that in a different way give thanks, not by themselves, sometimes representatively, sometimes collectively, but it's about praise as found in the Old Testament. And so let's see why Daniel is giving thanks to the Lord. You probably remember the story how King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream and he asked his wise men if they could interpret this dream. And they said to him, "Will you tell us what the dream is and we will interpret it?" He said, "I know your tricks. You are just biding time. You tell me the dream and give me the interpretation." Well, what happens is this, that an order goes out, and look at verse 14, 12 to see what it means. Daniel 2:12, "For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went forth, and the wise men were to be slain. And they sought Daniel and his companions to be slain. Then Daniel returned answer with counsel and prudence to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, 'Wherefore is the decree so urgent from the king?' Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. And Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would appoint him a time, and he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah," as you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, "his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his companions should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in the vision of the night. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, 'Blessed be the name of our God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that have understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast now made known unto me what we desired of thee. For thou hast made known unto us the king's matter.' Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said unto him, 'Destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation.'" Let us speak to God again in prayer, and we'll look at these things one by one as time allows. Our Father, we are glad that there is a God in heaven that we know and that we are able to thank for all the blessings that come into our lives. We are thankful that we've been warned now, Father, for these four times about be thankful. We believe your word when it says that men, who you, God, glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, and their senseless heart was darkened. Our Father, we would escape such judgment upon ourselves. So, for every occasion, let us be those whose hearts are filled with thanks. Let us, being new creatures in Christ Jesus, let us learn to be thankful, our God, and then let us be disciplined, and let us give thanks unto God. And for that reason, we give thee thanks for this day. Is it not another day that thou hast given us? Have we not been here to remember your Son? Have we not had the Word of God open and expounded to us? And have we not fellowshiped with thy people and been given daily bread in abundance? And let us know that to all these things the answer is yea, and they come of thee. And therefore, for the material and spiritual blessings that thou hast bestowed upon us this day, our Father, we give thee thanks. Great is thy faithfulness. But our Father, your gifts this morning are not sufficient for this evening, and therefore your lambs and sheep need more food. So by thy Spirit, feed them from the Scriptures. Teach us, Father, about thankfulness, and let us be among those upon whom you look and say, these are my children who are thankful. Bless us to this end, we pray. We confess our sins, our God. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as you promised, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I told you that only two genuine thanks in the New Testament, one genuine thanks in the Old Testament, is brought to our attention, but there are others who almost fit into that category. When, for instance, one man gives thanks for others, and so, in one sense, that is one who is thankful, and he thanks God himself and for others as well. And at the same time, in the Psalms, I told you, there are so many references to thanksgiving that we did not look into them, but we shall for this reason, because in the Psalms, the man who speaks most about thanks and who personally gives thanks is David, and perhaps we'll get a chance to look at some of the instances where he gives thanks. And also, there is another individual. In Jonah chapter 2, we have Jonah in the belly of the whale speaking about giving thanks to the Lord, and then we have other references as well that are an individual that is unnamed in Psalm 119, and then one other reference where you have a great number of people giving thanks to God. But as for someone who individually, like the leper who was cleansed, for a particular blessing in his life gave thanks, Daniel is the one that we shall look upon. Now, we've read in chapter 2, there was another reference in chapter 6, and let's look at that now. Chapter 6, and then we shall consider them together. Daniel, chapter 6. You would think that a man who was responsible for saving your life, selfishly, not selfishly, but unselfishly, for these who are selfish, in chapter 6, instead of showing gratitude, if these are among those whose lives were saved, then you will find that ingratitude and jealousy and hatred to the point of death arise in their hearts. And that's what we're reading about now. There are 120 that are elevated to high positions, and Daniel is among them. And it says this. Look at verse 3. Then this Daniel was distinguished above the presidents and the satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. And that is what caused the trouble. This promotion that was in store for Daniel, look at verse 4. Then the presidents and the satraps sought to find occasion against Daniel as touching the kingdom, but they could find no occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error of fault found in him. So there's no way that they can look upon his service to Nebuchadnezzar and bring it to an end, to the ruler at that time, and bring it to an end. So they say, we know how. We are familiar with his habits. We know what he does. And he prays to the God of the Israelites. And therefore, what we will have to do is to arrange that for 30 days, no one can pray or ask requests to anyone except to Darius the king. Only to Darius can he make requests? And if he does make requests, then the consequences shall be death. All right. Now, look at verse 9. Wherefore, King Darius, he signed the writing and the interdict. And when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. Now his windows were open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, and he kneeled down upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did before time. And that was his downfall or his uplifting. Now, let's consider these things, these two things, in the life of Daniel. One of them is for a special occasion, and the other is for no special occasion. It is simply a life that is disciplined, and in that life, whether there is anything special to thank God for, morning, noon, and night, Daniel prays to his God. That is a good thing. So often, we're liable to say, well, why should I go into the presence of God and thank him? Nothing has been done for me. Well, I think that we should exercise and challenge ourselves, as in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And then, at one of those 3 times of the day, when you say, now, I can't think of anything today that God has done for me, then forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. And perhaps that's what Daniel did those 3 times of the day. It may be that his heart was so perceptive and he was so grateful that, as I told you this morning, and it was a beautiful touch, where in Mark chapter 8, here is the Savior, and he has 7 loaves, and he gives thanks to God. And then there are a few fishes, and when they are brought to the Savior, he blesses God for them as well. And so some people are thankful. That is their nature. And the Lord Jesus was one. He would not have to search his heart for which to thank God, but he would think of all the things for which he could thank God. I recall that in the Psalms he was thanking God. He thanked God for giving him counsel. He thanked God for a multitude of things that you do not find recorded in the Gospels, and that is what is so beautiful about reading the Gospels and then having additional information that you can gather from the Psalms. It's like this. You read information in the Gospels, and you read supplementary information from the Psalms. Why? Because the Savior said, the law, the Psalms, the prophets that speak of me. And some of the things that he did not say in the Gospels, we find the situation in his life, and we see the words that he did speak recorded in the Psalms. And so, in like manner, here are some things that thanks is given for, and we do not know what the other things are. And in like manner, here are things that God has blessed us with, and we are to think through them. And if you can think on those 5 categories, you will never be without any basis of thanksgiving for God, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Do you understand that in the ages to come, you will be eternally praising God for the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness towards you in Christ Jesus? Eternity shall not exhaust the thanks that is due to God's name for your salvation, and you will never cease to praise God for that salvation. So that's enough. What can I thank God for today? Why, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Your sins are gone. And then you go down all of those other things if you are barren when it comes to giving thanks to God, and think over those things and stir your heart, and then let your heart rise in thanksgiving to God. But in the case of Daniel, let's think now about Daniel in chapter 2. Here is why he is the one in the Old Testament that I said was like unto the two in the New Testament, for this reason. Here is a leper. He's doomed for exclusion from fellowship with mankind. And he cries to the Lord Jesus. As it says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. He with nine other lepers cried to the Savior, and the Savior answered that cry. And when he saw that he was healed, he fell at the feet of Jesus and with a loud voice glorified God, giving him thanks. Now, you see, a specific need, that need met, and then thanks returned to God for that need. That is what I was talking about in particular instances in the New Testament. Just those two. Anna in Luke 2 and the leper in Luke 17. Now, here is a case that is similar in Daniel's life. Why? A decree has gone forth from the king, and this time it is Nebuchadnezzar. He's had a dream, and what are wise men for? Why, to take their wisdom and teach you things and explain things to you that you are not able to comprehend. But Daniel discovers that many have a name that they live, but they are dead. They have no ability to interpret his dream, and they have no ability to tell him the dream. And at least they are reasonable when they say this. Now, no king, no sovereign asks such a thing as this. Why, many sovereigns would say, here is a dream, interpret it. But for someone to have a dream and not even tell the dream, and to expect us to tell you what that dream is, why, this is beyond the ability of man. And so, what happens is this. That which is beyond the capability of man, when Arioch informs Daniel what is going to happen, Daniel says, I'm not worried about it in the least. He says, my God is able to deal with such a problem. Just give me time, and at the appointed time, I will give you the answer. And so, notice what happens. Here is one who is certain that God is going to answer before he gives the answer, and he sends assurance to the king that he will give him the answer at the appointed time. Think of some of the saints of God in the Old Testament who do that. Here is Elijah, and he promises rain, and then he starts praying for rain, but he's already promised the rain. And you remember how he prays and he looks for that cloud and sends the man for it. But he's already prayed for rain, promised the rain, and then the rain comes. Now, in like manner, the Lord Jesus, you remember this morning in John chapter 11, he had already prayed to his Father about the resurrection of Lazarus. And at the tomb he said, I thank you, Father, that thou heardest me, and I knew that you always heard me. He is praying to God, but he's not asking God for anything, but he's thanking God for the prayer that he has not as yet answered, but he knows he is going to answer. And so he thanks God. If we had that kind of faith, if we could pray that way, then we would be like those in Mark chapter 11. This is what the Lord Jesus says. This is what it literally means. He said, and when you stand praying, and he tells you what to do, he says, when you pray, believe that you have already received what you're praying for, and you shall receive it. Believe that you've already, in the past, received it, and you shall receive it. That's what the Lord did. In John 11, he prayed, and he believed that he had already received it to such a degree that he said, I thank thee, Father, that thou heardest me. And now, here is Daniel in the like spirit, and that is the spirit of prayer, to know that we have a God that is able to answer prayer, and we are under the conviction and under the persuasion that God is going to answer prayer, and therefore we can pray believing. Now, sometimes we deceive ourselves. Remember that. I know in one instance and in another how one whose child was at the point of death, and he said, I know that God is going to raise up this child, and he was boasting. And another spoke of a sick friend, and there was sickness, and he was certain that God was going to do it. But that certainty and persuasion did not come from God. And so he had made this bold assertion that this child that was at the point of death, God has told me the child's going to be raised. And I'm thinking of another friend who also gave out that God was going to work a miracle and give restoration. But these things were not of God. And I'm thinking that if our child were at the point of death, we would try to convince ourselves that God is going to answer this prayer, and we would try to convince ourselves to speak to God and say, thank you that you've already saved my child. But you have to be one like the Lord Jesus. You have to be one like Daniel. You have to be one like Elijah before you can thank God in advance that way. But understand, such a thing is possible. And that is when we pray in the Spirit. What is involved? It means that you know the will of God. And you know that God wants this thing done now. And he's going to do it at your request in prayer. And then you can tell in advance. So when you can meet the qualifications of Daniel and Elijah and the Savior, then you can pray with certainty. And you can speak of the answer to prayer and thank God for the answer to that prayer before it's ever uttered. And Daniel was such a one. But please notice that having said, I will give the answer, this is what happens next. It says in chapter 2 that when he did give that assurance, it says he went to his house and made the thing known to his three friends, and they are going to desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his companions should not perish with the rest of the wise men in Babylon. And so Daniel has no fear of death because he knows that God is going to give the answer, and he's told Arioch, go tell the king that the answer is going to be given, and then he starts praying. But please notice, even though he's certain of it, he has to pray, and when he does pray, it says, in a vision, the thing was revealed unto God. Now, this is the beauty of it. The Lord has said men are always to pray, and Daniel did pray. But having prayed, and having received the answer, immediately he gives thanks to God. He praises God. He acknowledges the source of that blessing, and he acknowledges that wisdom and understanding come from God, and the wisdom and understanding that Daniel possesses, they are given him by God. And then he thanks and praises God. This is why Daniel is such a beautiful character in the Old Testament, like our Lord Jesus. In prayer, the assurance that prayer is going to be answered. And so he comes and he tells the king, and when this happens, the king is astounded, and he promotes Daniel to the high exalted position that he holds in the kingdom. Why? Because Daniel was a man of prayer. I wonder what we would do. I think that if such a decree went out with us, we would say, my time is come. Lord, I can do nothing. At least we can go and beseech God to give an answer to such a prayer. And so understand this. Understand that God is he who is expressed by our Savior in certain ways. It says, the very hairs of your head are numbered. It says that God knows the fall of a sparrow. How can this be? What is so remarkable is this, that our God is so omniscient, not only knowing all things, but knowing things that no one has ever spoken or even can remember himself. A dream. No one knows what this dream was. And yet God knew what that dream was because God sent him that dream. But understand, that is your God. Can God tell? Does God know? God not only knows the things that ordinary man cannot know, but such things as dreams that have not been made known. God knows those. That is our God. And that is the God of Daniel. Now, the next in chapter 6 is different in this respect. I think that most of us are not able to say in that beautiful book of Lamentations that his mercies are new every morning. They are. But do we recognize them? Do we see his mercies new every morning? And do we thank him for those mercies new every morning? And then he'd say, great is thy faithfulness. Well, this is what Daniel could do. And so Daniel prayed 3 times in the day. How many times do you pray in the day? You say, well, I pray spontaneously, thank God. But Daniel prayed 3 times in the day, and in Psalm 119 that I want to refer to twice, the psalmist there said, I pray 7 times a day. And so you say, well, I thought it was good for Daniel to pray 3 times. The psalmist said, 7 times a day do I pray. But here is Daniel, and that is what is so beautiful. Tell me, when you arise in the morning, is prayer upon your lips? And when you arise and you go through the day and noontime comes, do you interrupt all the activities and pray to God? And then, at the end of the day, do you think back over what has transpired and confess your sin and think of the blessings of God and thank God for those things? You say, well, in the morning, you pray to God for what is going to occur. And then in the midst of the day, you pause and pray to God about how things are developing, how they have gone, and thank God for his blessings up till then. And at the close of the day, you see, there are periods of time when we thank God. No particular time that I think of the significance of morning, noon, and night. And there are some of us, just as I have been exhorting you, and be ye thankful, they forget to thank God. And some forget to pray to God. But Daniel was not such a man. And how can I remember to thank God all the time? Prayer, consistency in prayer, discipline in prayer, was such a part of Daniel's life that he said, I'd rather die than have my communion with my God interrupted. Now, I believe that you and I would do this. If our custom was to pray to God morning, noon, and night, and we knew that a decree had gone out from the king that if anybody asked anybody or prayed to any other god for 30 days other than Darius the king, he would be put to death. I think that we would secretly go to God in prayer and say, Lord, this thing has to be cut off for 30 days, but I'll be back in 30 days. You know how important it is for me to live. I think that's what we would do. We would somehow compromise. But Daniel said, I have no intention of compromising. He said, I prayed to God up until now, morning, noon, and night, 3 times a day. I bowed my knee, and this is what is so beautiful. Where Daniel lived, it says, in his chamber, his windows were open. Where? Toward Jerusalem, where the temple was before Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed it, and where the Ark of the Covenant dwelt, and where God dwelt. And still in Daniel's heart, that was the abode of God. And even though he was taken captive hundreds of miles away from Jerusalem to Babylon, yet his heart was still in Jerusalem. And that shows that if our locations are changed, not due to us, but because of the sins of other individuals around us, because it was not a sin of Daniel that he was taken captive, that the temple was destroyed, You read in Ezekiel and you read in Jeremiah about certain men that could pray, certain men that were righteous, and Daniel is among those. And so it was not Daniel's fault that there was no temple for the Israelites to worship in, for the priests to exercise their ministry. But in spite of that, Daniel said, my heart is still where God's temple was, and my windows are open, and that is what is beautiful. Now, get the contrast, because this is so important. Here is Daniel that was taken captive to Babylon, but his heart is still in Jerusalem. And here is Lot, who is in Sodom, and he has to be dragged out, and yet his heart is still in that wicked city, and the angels have to drag him out by the hand. That's why it says, set your affection on things above. Tell me, where do your windows open to? Where is your affection set? It should be set on things above. Just as Daniel's windows were open, and they looked toward Jerusalem, and he prayed and communed with that God, and nothing was going to interfere with it. So in like manner, our affections are to be set on things above. And our heart is to be filled with that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. And just as Daniel looked toward Jerusalem, I confess to you that so often I look eastward and say, come, Lord Jesus, because it speaks about the sun rising. And if I had to venture the direction from which he will come, it will be the east. I know where his feet are going to touch. We considered that just the other week. His feet shall touch the Mount of Olives. So we know where he's coming to when he comes back to earth. That just as Daniel was looking toward Jerusalem, that was the place where God had caused his name to dwell, that is where Daniel's heart was. That our heart be in it. As it says, be thankful. Daniel was thankful. But at the same time, it does not mean that you can do away with prayer habits. So let us regulate our lives and say, I'm going to pray to God morning, noon, night, or if you wish, if that's not enough, 7 times. Because I remember on occasions, those that do not gather to the name of the Lord, they say, how often do you think someone should remember the Lord? And they think you're going to say, the first day of every week. And you can deceive them at times and say, why, or perhaps 7 times a week if you want to. 7 times a week, why, we remember the Lord every quarter, or we remember the Lord. And so, how often should you remember the Lord? Savior says, about this do in remembrance of me. And Paul interprets it, as often as you eat this bread, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. And this is what is so remarkable. Do you realize that the Roman Catholics in this city have their communion every day? Again, early communion, late communion, you see? And so, we are embarrassed about having to tell people, well, we remember the Lord once every week. Oh, well, that's too often. Often is how our hearts are. And at least in Acts chapter 20, it says this, upon the first day of the week, when the saints gather together to break bread. And so that is a suggestive statement. And we remember the Lord the first day of every week, because the very one that was asking that question about how often do you remember the Lord? And when you say, why, the first day of every week, he'll say, well, don't you think that that is too often? And I say to him, well, now, how often do you preach to your congregation? Or why, I preach to them Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday. Don't you think that's too often? Hadn't you rather do it once every quarter? And he started laughing and said, that's enough. No more. No more. I see. It is essential to be fed often. Yes. But what about worshiping God often? Yes. And so here is Daniel. And 3 times in the day was not too much for Daniel to pray to God. And if you know the Muslims, they are determined to pray to Allah dear God. And so remember this. In our prayer, let us thank God. And he's giving God thanks and praising God. Here is Daniel, the example. Now, what I will do is tell you a little bit about Jonah, because in the case of Daniel, and he's so different from Jonah, the trouble that Daniel is in is because of obedience and righteousness and faithfulness. But the trouble that Jonah is in is because of disobedience, unfaithfulness, and departure from God. Do you see? And so some of us find ourselves in difficulties because of our devotion to God. And some of us find ourselves in difficulties because of our disobedience to God. Now, which one would characterize you? So be sure, as it says in Peter, he said, but if any man suffer as a Christian, let him glorify God by that name. Let none of you suffer as an evildoer, as a murderer, as a meddler in other men's affairs. No. He said, but if you suffer as a Christian, you are not to be ashamed. You are to glorify God in that matter. And so, if I find myself under sentence of death because of righteousness and devotion to God, we should be able to live with that. We should be thankful for that. But if we find ourselves in difficulties, as Jonah was in difficulties, woe unto us. You remember, the Lord said to Jonah, I want you to go and warn Nineveh, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. But understand that the heart of God was not the heart of Jonah. Jonah would have Ninevites destroyed, and God would have them preserved. Hence, for Jonah is not going to go and give them that warning from God. The Savior says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And I know one sister, and this is what is so strange, that this sister that had such good Christian behavior on some occasions, there was someone who had caused great harm to her daughter. The daughter's husband had been unfaithful, and she was telling me about that. And usually, when some crisis arises, they'll say, now, pray that this shall be resolved. And as soon as she told about the unfaithfulness and the unworthiness of her son-in-law, she said, and do not pray to God for him. Don't utter one word in prayer to God for him. You see? And so her heart was like Jonah's heart. God's heart wants to preserve. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should repent. All should be saved. And so God says, go and preach to Nineveh. And Jonah says, I am going to Tarshish. And you may look at this now, just a moment. Just look at it. Let's read the words, because they are so beautiful. In the book of Jonah, chapter 2, and look at verse 7. He's in the belly of the whale, and he says, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple. They that regard lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. You see, to get some of us to pray and change our minds, it takes one adversity after another. And finally, in his extremity, when Jonah thinks that all is gone, that he's going to die, he understands that God is going to preserve him, and he makes confession and explains his own condition, And then he says this. He says, I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And when he said that, God spoke to the whale, and it vomited Jonah up on dry land. So here is Jonah, who is giving thanks to God. The thanks came from Jonah because of adversity and under the pressure of God, because of something he had done that was evil, and God in his grace saved Jonah. Now, God will do the same for us, but let us be not like Jonah, but let us be like Daniel. And when we pray to God, let it not be under due rest, but let it be because our hearts are filled with thanksgiving. We enjoy the presence of God, and we understand all our blessings. We forget them not. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are glad that we find thanksgiving coming from the lips of people under different circumstances. We are glad that eventually Jonah did give thee thanks, and you delivered him. Our Father, we know that some shall never give thee thanks. We remember that you send tribulation upon some, and it says they gnaw their tongues for pain and blaspheme God instead of repenting and turning to God. Our Father, let it never be that way. Let us not even be like Jonah, who has to have adversity sent our way before we confess our sin and give thee thanks. Let us be like Daniel. Let us, our God, know that you are able to do that which is above all that we ask or think, and let us trust thee to do it according to thy will. And then, Father, let us also give thanks to thee. Let nothing interfere. Let it be something as important as life itself. Let us be thankful, and let us give God the thanks, the God of heaven, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.